You can hear me breathing, huh? How you doing, Ron? Can you hear me breathing now? So how you doing, Ron? You still there? You have to check in with your CIA controller. Because it is Friday, April the 17th, it's right around 1:47 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. Holy bejesus, isn't it wonderful? Trump has declared victory. Again, the Strait of Hormuz is open again. Iranians are talking again. And everything's gonna be okay. But if you're there, Ron, does stuff sound okay, or can you give me some audio feedback? Just let me know, guys. Let me know before everything becomes a bulging nothing. Let's just find out. Wow, the internet's helping me right now. Dan, the internet's helping you. I know, it's helping me, it's helping you. Oh, Ron, you still there? Looks like there are two people, huh? With one thumbs up, bink. It'll be zero then four, then two, then one, then zero. Welcome to YouTube. Hey, Shad, what's up? I'm glad the audio's okay. How you guys doing? Any questions? Any observations? You want to talk about some type of worldwide bullshit? Because it looks like a lot of bullshit to me. Tell me about your edgelord. Tell me what the guy told you about the alien laser gun. Huh? Come on, call in to the CRAM. Crisis Center. Begin at the beginning, baby. Begin where it started. Crawl out of the ancient muck. Get into your pickup truck. Head on down to the 7-Eleven, baby. Little Mary Rotten Potato Face is waiting there for you in her cut-off jeans. And you'll take her out to the forest and impregnate her and then have a family in the woods. You'll live in a shack. You'll be always under attack by lions and bears because Rotab is coming. Rotab is coming, people. The Republic of Tigers and Bears right around the fucking corner. Hey, what's up, JT? How you doing out there in the world? Super's pretty good. Hey, say hi to Beth for me. You can call in to the crisis line anytime. Call in if you have something you want to talk about. I don't care about the subject. I am that completely done with the news, right? There's the news. Iran, are we at war with Iran? Are we at peace? Oh, it looks like someone's calling in to the CRAM style crisis line. Remember the rules, pals. Remember the rules of this particular scenario. What's up?
Hi, Dad.
Hey.
I just scared the dogs.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Okay. How you guys doing?
Oh man, we're doing good over here in Utah. We got some snow this morning. Up like two inches. Yeah, all the dogs are barking. I don't know what they just got all worked up about.
Well, I haven't spoken to the dogs in a while either.
Well, Kia's around. Would say hello, but I think she's outside soaking up some sun. You're hearing the two puppies barking.
So if you got 2 inches of snow, that means everything's okay. You got plenty of water for the summer.
Yeah, no, that stuff's long gone. In fact, the dirt's not even wet anymore, Dan.
Wow, it almost sounds like it converted to the gas phase without becoming liquid.
Yeah, so maybe. I mean, there is one puddle on the deck, so I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. I mean, at this point in time, listen, we got some type of colored sky out there, and on the days they tell us it's mostly sunny, the sky looks like shit. I haven't seen a real blue sky in a long time, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I spend all that time out in the woods, and I just watch the planes fly by over and over and over and over and over. It's nonstop.
So what's else going on out there?
Well, I kind of wanted to talk to you about how the Strait of Hormuz thing is being used as like the dial, right? The dial to turn it all down.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was real interesting when you brought that up in that podcast the other day. I was like, yeah, it is very similar to COVID. Is it is just like it's open, you know, so it's like the switch on and off, and we're watching it happen, and you know, slowly, you know, whether it's they see it, whatever on the horizon coming our way, it's like dial it up, you know, shut the fuel off or shut the resources off. It's kind of, it's kind of scary.
Here's the thing, and this is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to circle back.
Okay, he's going to circle back.
Okay. When I was an air defense officer back in the 90s, I was told explicitly that what we did for a living did not matter. Specifically short-range air defense. That's Stinger missiles, man pads. I was a platoon leader for an Avenger platoon, one of the worst weapon systems ever designed, but I don't want to go there. But we were told it doesn't matter. Like, we like your FLIR on your Avenger, which is the forward-looking infrared. We love your FLIR for observation. We're happy about that 50 cal. We're going to have to bring the engineers in to dig you in because the Avenger has a ridiculous high profile. But in terms of air defense, we were told you're just not necessary. The Air Force takes care of everything. And that comes out of the first Gulf War. And we were fighting 1960s and 70s technology during the first Gulf War, and that's Soviet technology. But what people don't understand is it's much worse than that. We were fighting a nation armed with 1950s technology during the first Gulf War compared to our technology. There's no basis of comparison to any other conflict when you have a situation like that. I mean, it's not exactly like fighting indigenous people with spears, but it's as close as you can get in the modern era. And I think people drew a lot of poor conclusions, like short-range air defense is no longer necessary because we control the skies. Does that kind of make sense?
Sure.
Okay. So you flash forward, and they're telling us, oh, we didn't see drones coming. We don't understand drones. Drones have changed everything. My friends out there, drones are guided missiles. Guided missiles have been getting smarter since World War II. In fact, during World War II, the Germans made a lot of progress on guided missiles to the point that they had radio-controlled weapons. They had radio-controlled weapons with little television cameras, which is something a lot of Americans don't realize. Every time somebody explains the Ukraine war to me, say, well, Dan, what you don't understand, and I just want to stop people, but they'll say, it's the drones. The drone excuse is being overused, my friend. Way fucking overused. Whatever the fuck's going on in Ukraine and whatever the fuck's happening with this Iran conflict, this drone hypersonic ballistic missile excuse only goes so far. It doesn't add up to me. Does that mean that we are ahead of them or behind them? Dude, the DoD can't account for like 20 or 30 trillion bucks. So you tell me where that money went. And it was not cocaine and swimming pools, despite what a quote-unquote friend of mine told me years ago. So what do you think's going on with this whole Iran thing? It looks like bullshit to me.
Well, I recognized a long time ago it was like a black box. You know, like, there's no way for me to get any information, period, out of there other than what's given to me through the media.
Right.
You know, whether that's the computer or the TV, whatever. There's no way. So they can say that pigs are literally growing wings and flying around, and they're also have vampire teeth, and they're sucking at people. And it's like, you have to make a choice. Do you believe that, or do you call bullshit? Because there's no way to verify anything.
There's not. Not for people like us. I have no resources. The only resources I have is to connect to the internet, right? And you're right. What information do we get? I don't know. Is it good information? Is there some YouTube account you can go to where the dude's going to tell you all this really good information? I will admit, I have been watching a lot of the YouTube edgelords in the last month or two, in part because of my schadenfreude, because I'm just, you know, too fucking curious, and in part because I'm on administrative leave for the last 3 weeks. So, you know, what else am I going to do all day, right?
Right, right. Another topic there. Yeah, I was kind of curious how that was going, but I guess you're still off work.
I'm still out of work, and from what I can tell, from what I've heard, is that they're yanking my chain on purpose, which I guess I make friends everywhere I go, Justin.
Yeah, you had that special visitor not too long ago.
Yeah, well, guess what? He's still visiting. And that's his own special topic. Listen, as far as the Iran war goes, is there a dial where they can turn it down to 3 and then turn it up to 10? It seems like it, right?
Well, and okay, so, you know, you can't see me. I can see you. You're on my computer screen.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you the air quotes of Iran is controlling this and controlling that. I mean, you and I both know, like, there's pump jacks here in the Uinta Basin. That fuel can go to Salt Lake City, get refined, turned into diesel, fuel, whatever they make over there.
Right.
And a lot of it hops on a train and goes to Texas, where they use that real heavy wax. And, you know, so we have domestic fuel production. You know, I've built that infrastructure in West Texas, North Dakota, some in Utah. But I can see the world where, oh, we blame something on Iran, and they turn off the pumps in Utah. Like, it has nothing to do with Iran, but that's the story. That's the way they're, oh, here's the information you get, this is the story, this is why, and here's those YouTube edgelords to give you all the lore on this story that we're telling. You know, so I can just see all this information. It just seems so similar that it's, to me, it comes from the same place, likely, which is the story house, whoever's writing the story.
Right. And the problem is, this trauma monkey is about the same size as the COVID, as you pointed out. Like, it has that big a scope. Or bigger. I mean, okay, think about the, okay, what are they telling us? They're saying, in Europe, they will be running out of jet fuel within a week or so.
Stock up now. Fertilizer prices are going to skyrocket.
Right, right. And again, okay, if I look at it from my best case perspective, which is the collapse of the dollar, which is the start of a long economic collapse, but it starts there. In my opinion, people don't realize it yet, but the petrodollar's over, okay? We have alliances around the world that are falling apart right now. NATO alliance, the CETO alliance, which includes, like, you know, Australia, I think, you know, various, like, South Korea, Japan, places like that. Various Pacific alliances are falling apart as well. And the reason why they're falling apart is because, like in Australia, if you believe the news, right, quote unquote, in Australia, they're telling us they're going to have shortages soon. Like Mad Max bullshit.
Yeah. And again, I bring it up the other day in the comment on one of your videos. I remember when I was a kid, the story of the hole in the ozone layer over Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, a curious mind wanders is like, okay, that was the story back then. That's not a thing anymore. That hole is quote-unquote fixed. And yet here Australia is like getting the brunt of this as far as during COVID and now this. Is it actually worse, or is it just another black box where most people don't know somebody in Australia? It seems like at this point it is pretty credible that fuel there is super high, but I mean, again, there's just so much we don't know.
Well, okay, so let's imagine it's the best case scenario, and Trump, he doesn't have any power, but he's being used as the buffoon to manage our scenario. He's like our Boris Yeltsin. Let's call him our Boris Yeltsin. One of the things that this could be designed to do, and this does sound insane, because this kind of goes against the whole Israeli narrative of, you know, Zionist control of our government, but what if this is just a really complicated, fucking Byzantine, absurd way of handing over control of the Persian Gulf to the People's Republic of China and the BRICS countries?
Like, sure.
You know, it's okay. Think of it like, you know, the exploding cows we've talked about since 2020. You know, they explode and there are no cows at the market, or the exploding food processing plants, or the Nike shoes that run off in the desert by themselves. What if this is just a giant fucking exploding cow? And the purpose is to simply say, China, if you write off, in fact, China, BRICS, all these countries, if you simply write off what we owe you, guess what? Now you control the Persian Gulf. And it sounds crazy, I know, but that's frankly more optimistic than the other scenario.
Either way, remarkably controlled. That's like a calmer heads prevail type scenario where, gosh, we'd be lucky for it to go that smooth.
I mean, people have been acting like Trump's saying things and it's coming from Trump, but no president in my lifetime has had that kind of autonomy, and that includes Trump. He's not autonomous. So for me, I start with the baseline that whatever is going on, it's not random Trump bullshit. You know what I mean? I start from that point. I know that people want to say it's all about Trump, but I got to be honest with you, for the last 10 years, I thought it's everything but about Trump. You know?
And Dan, I feel it's important to point out to everybody, and I'll, including you at this point, Trump has been a lifelong career actor. He has been an actor his entire life, and I believe he's just continuing to play his role.
Absolutely. And so if a person wanted to, they could say to themselves, okay, this is simply the deep state, the powers that be, whoever the fuck they are, this is their attempt at managing the collapse of the petrodollar. Because if it simply failed, if people came to the realization that their dollars were not worth as much as they thought they were, and all of a sudden people realized that maybe 99% of their value just vaporized, that would be really bad really fast. Whereas as bad as this is, it's kind of like they're slowly trying to take the plane down so they can land it. And that's me bright-siding, by the way, because I don't think it is that. But I want to believe that because I got, 13 nieces and nephews, and I may not talk to them, but I do care about the world they live in. And at least in a dollar collapse world, they'd still have a life and maybe even a freer life than the one we've lived so far. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember you always saying that they're going to release papers and stuff about, I told you so. We told you the warming was coming.
Yeah.
And, so for your not so bright side version, they have been doing exactly what you've been saying, which is, oh, here comes the super El Nino year. I just saw the report today, a big giant red map, heat wave coming, April heat wave coming. Dan, I've been wearing shorts for what, how long? The past 6 weeks at work.
Yeah.
It has not been cold. We had this little cold snap, which I'm of the impression they can make it cold any one place in the world at a time, regionally.
If they can do it regionally.
One place at a time. And that's it. That's all we can, with all the technology we have, that's all we can do. One cold place at a time. And that, Utah, where I'm at in Utah, might be a really hot place to be this summer.
It could be. And, I don't really love talking about this for the same reason I got angry in 2020 when all the freaks immediately assumed that what they were being told about the COVID was true. That the baseline is there's some crazy virus and it's killing grandma. And my baseline by March of 2020 was that virus never existed. It was a fantasy injected into the mind politic. It was never a thing. I don't want to scare people with shit that I cannot verify. If I had the money, I would verify this. And the best place to go to verify something like this would be the Arctic Circle. And I don't have the resources to go there.
Yeah, yeah. Neither you nor me or the average person. And no. Especially that, Antarctica, which...
Let alone, I'm just talking about the Arc, dude. I'm just talking about loading up a car and driving as far north in Canada as possible. Sure. There's no way that we're ever getting to Antarctica. that's off limits.
or the Arctic, which, like you said, you can hop in the car and drive up there.
But can you? Because you look at what's going on, and they've got fires around the Arctic Circle in Canada and Siberia that haven't been going out the last 10 fucking years.
That's pretty wild.
It is wild.
Species.
New endangered penguins.
Yeah, no, I heard about the penguin story too. But that had to do with the fact that in Antarctica, they're also experiencing heating events. And they don't have the same ice pack they used to. And the penguins need that ice pack to breed on.
They didn't have as much food in their area, their breeding grounds.
It's very clear to me the oceans are dying. You know, I can't have a plastic fork in my head, or maybe I do have a plastic fork in my head, and I can still use my brain to imagine a world where all that plastic is killing everybody, everything, everywhere, especially the oceans. Like, it's they're broken. You look at the death zone in the Gulf of Mexico, just the plastic island in the middle of the Pacific, the garbage patch, you know, whales washing up on shore on a regular basis because of special sonar the Navy's using. Take your pick. We are whittling away the, you know, death by a thousand cuts the entire ocean ecosystem.
Which by itself is really bad.
Yeah, you're right. By itself, it's really bad. And then added to the list of all the other bullshit we're pulling off.
Yeah, and so I just don't know. I know that what I can see with my own eyes every fucking day doesn't make any sense. I know that we got a cool down too. We had a magical cool down a few days ago. And dude, it was weird because you could measure the temperature in your car, it would say 50 degrees. But if you were walking in the wind chill, it felt like it was in the 30s. And it was like, how is this possible? How is it possible that the temperatures I'm showing on a vehicle are 20 degrees warmer than the temperatures outside? And it kind of makes sense. Well, you know, the vehicle's absorbing heat from the sun and all that. But none of it makes any sense, dude. It's like a couple years ago when I was living in the woods and the water that I would keep outside in little bottles would freeze hours after the snow was already half a foot deep. And that's not what it was like when I was a kid. When I was a kid, if you had water outside, it usually froze before you saw your first snowflake. It was just weird.
Yeah.
And none of it. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it is. It's all different. Hey, Dan, I've got to end it here. It's great talking to you, and it's good seeing you on the screen.
Okay.
But I'm right in the middle of a project, so I'm going to bow out and just listen from here on out. But I'm just happy I was able to get in touch with you today and Beth.
Bye, Dan. It was great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's always good to see you, Dan. So we'll be standing by, be listening on this one. So, all right, Dan, we'll catch you soon.
Okay, you have a good one. Well, that was really cool. I'm glad Justin called in. To the crisis line. Ha ha ha, I'm kidding, right? I don't know. It's weird, folks. Hey, Raul, nice to see you. Hey, Neutral. Good to see you guys. Yeah, there's a massive polar vortex descending from Canada into the eastern United States and some of the West. There are frozen particles falling from space because the aliens hate the human race. But you all can call in to the CRAM crisis line. That's the CRAM Crisis Center crisis line. You can call in. You can let me know how things are going for you. It's, you know, just call in if you want to. You don't have to. Call in to the CRAM Crisis Center. Tell me about your love. Tell me about your hope. Tell me about your hooker woman and how you've fallen in love. It's Friday, it's romance. You can talk about, I don't care. You can call in if you want to. Yeah, I don't know that the information we have is very good right now. If you look simply at the Trump narrative, and let's call it the Trump narrative, okay? The petrodollar's dead. And a lot of people, I heard Scott Ritter today, well, you know, everybody finds the petrodollar convenient. No, they don't. And the guy has a lot of good takes, but then he ends up spinning his wheel back towards the central banks, and you kind of know that everybody's owned. All these edgelords are owned. Be honest with you, I don't even know if Dane Wigington is a 100% solid source. When it comes to geoengineering, he is the only good source out there. But then every once in a while, when he talks about bioweapons and other shit, he completely loses me and my own knowledge base of knowing that he's full of shit. And he quotes Zbigniew Brzezinski way too fucking much. That guy was a disinfo agent, if he was anything. And so, yeah, I don't know where you can go for good information on what the fuck they're spraying above us. It's not RFK Jr. It's not Make Sunsets. It's not the weird Silicon Valley freaks with weather balloons. Okay? Whatever the truth is, it's not something we have access to. But do we really want to talk about that shit, Iran? How about Katy Perry? Did you hear that Katy Perry and Ruby Rose are in a little fight? Oh my God. So sometime about 20 years ago, Katy Perry took her snatch and she sat on Ruby Rose's face at a nightclub. And to quote Ruby Rose, her boobula smelled like fish, but not healthy fish. And according to Ruby Rose, it was sexual assault. Which again, maybe it was, I don't know. But what do you guys think about the Katy Perry, Ruby Rose trauma monkey? It's something. Tell me about your super advanced theories about fiber optic drones and how drones are so radical that they made things like Verdun in the Ukraine since 2022 something we could reasonably say, oh, that makes fucking sense. Yeah. A lot of stuff doesn't add up, folks, but I did say something a few years ago. If you're worried about continental shelf methane burps, the kind like, you know, Bermuda Triangle shit, and ships and planes just sort of disappearing, then you probably do want to crack down on, like, maritime traffic and airline traffic. Hey, that Iran war's helping out, ain't it? Yeah. Who's Katy Perry, Shad? That's funny. She kissed a girl, then she got herpes. She kissed a girl, then she got AIDS. You can call on in to the CRAM crisis line. Yes, Katy Perry is an astronaut. She traveled 50 miles above the surface of the planet with other lesbians. Yes, indeed. Other lesbian warriors. But please, call in if you want to. The line is open if you want to call in. We can talk about anything, really. Yeah, I can't really tell you guys one way or the other. I don't really know. I don't have an answer. It does feel a lot like 2019 in terms of a certain kind of certainty, but it's not the certainty that fits into a spreadsheet. There's not the certainty that can manifest as data. It's more like the sense that another shoe's about to drop. And, you know, my friend Justin pointed this out, and other people have too. The Iran thing has the weight, the lockdown weight, the shutdown weight that the COVID thing had. And the thing about the COVID, it was as if the people that ran the world decided to take a giant monkey wrench, a ridiculous Charlie Chaplin industrial wrench, and toss it into the engine of civilization. And to this fucking date, nobody has explained to me how that made sense. It doesn't make sense in terms of the reset. There's easier ways to kill people. If you want to hide an event that doesn't have a predictable discrete date, which means it might have a threshold date, like a volcano, right? Volcano erupts, that's the date. But predicting it, you have a window. You could say in the next 10,000 years, in the next 100 years. You can't say on this date. So whether it's a volcano, an earthquake, pole shift, fucking super flare from the sun, to include economic collapse. As I've mentioned for the last 6-7 years, these are fuzzy events. These events have a window of likelihood. And if you're going to manage operations during a period like that, you want operations you can turn up and turn down. And I was generally of the opinion that there would be a bookend to the COVID, you know, during popping smoke. It would be kind of as bad or equivalent, and it looks like it kind of is. But I can't really tell you for certain. I think this summer is going to be interesting, but to be honest with you, every summer since 2018, I've been kind of worried. And you could say, well, what does that mean? Folks, if we're lucky, we're talking about an economic, sociological event that happens maybe once, at most twice, every 1,000 years. So let's call it a 1,000-year event. Like the 14th century crisis, like the collapse of the Western Roman Empire. If you're off by a couple years on something like that, in terms of giving advice to people like, get the fuck out of the cities, there's no such thing as being too early. There isn't. This isn't about investing. If you're so, well, Dan, I'm not going to optimize. You want to optimize your returns, you're going to be stuck in a city without food. That's the best case scenario. If you want to optimize your returns. Oh, I know, too many chicks, I get it. I understand, man. So yeah, the idea that you could be early is ridiculous, but if this is the worst case scenario, that they're covering up an event so god awful that humans probably started noticing 6-7 years ago that it was coming, then who knows what the fuck that is? Another category or class, excuse me, another potential under the classification of fuzzy event would legitimately fit into eschatology as well, and that is predicting the end times. I don't mean causing the end times. No human, no collection of humans, no collection of angels and demons and humans has the power to control God's plan. If you have faith, there is no comparison. You can take every angel and every human and every nuclear weapon and you can put it in a pile and still you're not going to impact God's plan. So you're not going to do this shit as a way to make the end times happen, but you might do it as preparation for it or as a way to control discernment, to control the third eye. I know I've talked about this idea of carpet bombing the third eye. Kind of seems like they've been doing that, in my opinion. Spoofing and carpet bombing people's intuition, their ability to grok out what's going on. So whether it's the COVID, George Floyd, you know, Antifa bimbo eruption, Biden, Putin, Ukraine, or the Trumpalooza madness of Doge and now the Iran conflict. All of this noise at an individual scale might cause people to go cuckoo, and you'd say, well, Dan, that's chaos. But at a population scale, this is a drug. This is like that drip. You know the drip where you have a button? You're stage four, there is no stage five. And you have a morphine drip with a button. That's what this is like. The morphine drip with the button. But you can call in to the CRAM Crisis Center, and I can help you figure your shit out if you want me to. I know people have mentioned pole shift to me. Listen, I don't know what the event is. I'm really still hopeful it's economic collapse. Because that'll be god-awful, yes. The petrodollar going away. Let's just talk about base cases. And you all can make fun of me in 6 months. Motherfuckers, I hope we're all still able to talk like this 6 months from now. You can all make fun of me in 6 months and say, Dan, you were full of shit. I'm going to tell you the base case. The petrodollar is dead. Okay? Best case scenario, everything you pay for is going to go up 3 to 4 times in the next year. Now, I can't speak for you, but I'm barely hanging on right now economically, okay? By the middle of the month, I have about $50, okay? And then, you know, I could talk about my medical bills, but I don't want to complain because we all got bullshit. I have no fucking clue what people like me who are just barely hanging on are going to do when the prices of food go up 2, 3, 4 times. And that is the best case scenario. If you want to understand your bright side at this point, your bright side is over the next year, inflation's going to grind you down. And guess what? Hyperinflation mostly already happened. So what you're looking forward to on the other side of the rainbow is not really hyperinflation, but it's just plain shortages. There won't be anything. You could have a wheelbarrow full of gold. Okay, understand what I'm about to say, because for some people this will make no sense because they haven't really lived in the real world. You could have a wheelbarrow made of gold, and that will not buy you a loaf of bread if there's no fucking bread. Oh, and that's in the Bible too, shithead. So yeah. One scenario, and it's still valid, is they're building a bloody stage for some really cool dude to come along, and it's not Jesus. So yeah, it could be that. It could be that the revelation of the Antichrist is months away. And when you think about it, war, famine, probably real disease. I don't mean made up monkey herpes bullshit. I don't mean the COVID nonsense. I don't mean stuff that taps into the inverse of the placebo effect, actual disease. All these things could be right on the horizon. And by the way, one of the knock-on effects or second order effects of famine is disease. Holy shit, Dan, that's crazy, yeah. Drought, disease, famine, war. That's what the whore of Babylon wants to see. Build a fancy stage filled with rage so that the magical man can come along for us, for you and me. And that magical man will have a top hat. And that magical man will have a wand. And every single problem we face will be magically fixed. Yeah, Trump is not the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be a mirror image of Jesus during his trials on his way to his persecution and death. So if you want a model for the Antichrist, ask yourself, how old was Jesus? Was he attractive? Was he ugly? If we have any information about Jesus, that will tell you a little bit about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not going to be some old piece of shit that has way too much spray tan. I am so sorry if people think that's the case. The Antichrist is not going to be a system, okay? Systems are not relevant to this conversation. They are the dust of the world. And maybe the devil takes the dust seriously. Well, I guess Trump takes the nuclear dust seriously. But Christ doesn't. The Antichrist will be a physical person, and we still don't know who that person is because we can't know. And as I've said for 6-7 years, if you knew the name of the Antichrist and you were 100% certain you were right, the smartest thing you could do is write on a stone and toss it into the sea. What did we say about God's plan? You can take every angel, you can take the fallen angels, you can take every demon and every nuclear weapon, and you can build it into a pile, and that would not even be relevant to one part of one fingertip of the power of God. So when people talk about things like making the end times happen, you can't do that, okay? There's no way to make the end times happen. However, if you're the devil and you want to do the whole taster's choice, the whole Bud Light, Miller Light challenge, look at the last couple years. It seems like the devil's been testing the waters, not God. The Lord in heaven told us exactly how fallen we'd be at the end. He knew it was part of the plan. It's been the devil that's been doing the testing, the A-B testing, the beta testing. And if you ask me, from the devil's perspective, enough of us got an A+. From the Lord's perspective, enough of us, you know, failed, especially in 2020. Hey, Ron, I respect that perspective. I mean, I still have my faith for my own reasons, and I talk about my faith because, well, I'm not ashamed to. But listen, if it's not about God, and it's not about the petrodollar collapse, and if I look at the environment around me, the insects, the birds, the creatures, there's still some. There's still birds here. There's still insects here, but not as many as when I was a kid. And it's not linear, okay? It's not like this. It's more like, meow. If I look around me, I'm seeing an environment that's screaming. And it's not about Al Gore or little Greta Thunberg. I get so sick of that bullshit. When the building is aflame, find some poor folks to blame. If the poor folks get in a bad mood, do you send a bioweapon? No. Do you start a war? Probably not. When the poor folks get in a bad mood, going back 7,000 fucking years, you take away their fucking food. This has not changed, brothers and sisters. The number one way to manage the death of a lot of humans has been the same forever. Take away their food. In part because, well, it has a dial too that you can turn up and down. It takes a while to die of starvation. It takes not as long to die of thirst. It can take many, many weeks. And during that process, people get crazier and crazier. What's not to like about this? The fucking bioweapon bullshit? Your enemies can CRISPR the fuck out of it. Are you fucking kidding me? A bioweapon is like a hydrogen bomb that has herpes sex with itself. Nobody in strategic planning since the Korean War has thought it's a good idea. Wake the fuck up. But a fake bullshit pandemic, now that's useful. You can also control that. You can control famine. You can control this Iran war bullshit. You can control a fake pandemic. You can't control a bioweapon. So sorry. Not sorry. Yeah, Ron, I know about the Schofield Bible. I hear ya. Anyways. But call into the crisis line. It is the CRAM Crisis Center. You can call in. Call in, let us know how you're feeling. talk about anything. I know that Ron is busy with chicks. I get that. That's all cool. But supposedly there's six people, you know, in the live stream, and three of them have given me a thumbs up until a few minutes from now it'll be two. Now it's down to five people. This is, you know, this could be true. I'm scaring people away. I love that. Or it's part of the YouTube electronic gaslight, which is just as likely. Do I fucking care? I'm talking to my Fed friends too. How are you guys doing, Fed friends, really? You staying at your post until the last fucking minute. They promised you a condo. You're not gonna get a condo. But you will be left behind. You'll be left behind with the hatred, with the starvation, with the thirst, with humans being the worst. Hello, Fed friend. You're probably not gonna make it. And the people you work for don't care. To the crisis line. I was told by a listener who meant this in all seriousness that it was really critical for my listeners, all five or six of you, six, seven, to hear from me and to talk to me. So call in. I mean, prove the listener right, right? Correct? You can call in. Me personally, I think there's a very finite number of people out there who are their own people. Oh, now it's down to four. You see what I mean? This is awesome. Four. Yours is showing five. Oh, now mine's showing five too, Ron. Magic. Magic. YouTube magic. It's because of that technology. You know the robots that are going to take over the world? Folks, take all the statements they give you. The robots taking over the world, the excuses about why the internet's not working, the machines that are going to do everything, the shit on the streets, the literal shit piling on the streets. Take the whole set of support, as they say in automated theorem proving, and then ask yourself, if you take all these facts and put them together, do they add up to true or false? Because I'm fairly certain it adds up to false, okay? You can believe in the super robots, but you kind of have to ignore the shit piling up on the streets. You can believe that the reset people are going to take over the planet, but you kind of have to ignore how everything looks completely ass backwards. Okay, you can believe a lot of stuff. You can say, well, Dan, they're going to turn us into a slave race. Well, great. What the fuck do you do with so many sick people? And I don't mean sick from the monkey herpes. I mean literally sick from the shit that you can see with your own fucking eyes every fucking day. You don't need any help with it. You can just look up. What do you do with that? What do you do with millions of sick people? You're not building pyramids. You're not flying to Mars. You're not going to bars with Katy Perry. Probably not. So I don't know. I don't want to regurgitate the news. I do that periodically in my podcast by myself, I guess, and I'll keep doing that. But if we're talking like people, and if there are people out there listening, say something real. Tell me something real going on in your life. Like Ron told me he's taking care of chickens and stuff. That's pretty fucking cool. I think it's a good idea to raise chickens. What else is going on? What are you doing right now, today, that can have a positive impact upon your life, today? I don't mean magical bullshit. I don't mean voting. I don't mean protesting. I don't mean joining a militia. None of these things will solve anything. I mean practical things you're doing so that your odds of survival go up. Because nobody has a sure thing. If there is no God, if this isn't the end times, if it's just an ordinary run-of-the-mill economic collapse, there are a number of things that everybody needs to be ready to do. So my question for people is, what are you guys doing? Call in, tell me what you're doing that's a practical, real thing to increase your odds of survival. Ron can't call in, but if you can, you can call in. Call in and talk about anything, but talking about the Iran war is pointless. No one you know has any control over it. No one you can vote for will impact it in any way whatsoever. The most you can do is stress over it. And it's possible that the whole thing is some kind of contrived bullshit, but even then, where do you go with that? What kind of period of human history are we living in where they would construct a war to the point of people being murdered so that they can fool people? This is a fair question. It's not a surprise party. It's not a happy thing. They're not covering up gifts that they're going to give us. This is not what you do if what happens afterwards is something smiley face. So yeah, if you go down the road of saying to yourself the Iran war could be an operation that they're turning up and turning down, then brothers and sisters, whatever's coming next looks fucking terrible. And you don't even need God for that. You just need common sense. Well, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of new comments, but if you want to call into the crisis line, you can. The CRAM-style crisis center, it's totally legit. You call in. You can talk to me about anything. It's kind of surreal, to tell you the truth, because I'm just tired, you know? We all have our own personal battles we're going through right now. I can't see how this, in any bright-siding scenario, is going to get easier. I don't think the prices at the grocery store are going to go down, and I am of the opinion that it's worse than that. That at some point, and it's probably going to start happening this summer, it won't be a toilet paper shortage. It won't be a coin shortage. It won't be a boy who cried wolf op. Those ops were so you could sit on your butt and pretend weeks into these shortages that it's all bullshit. So by the time you figure things out, it'll be too fucking late. And the power's gone, and the water's not being pumped. And if you're unlucky and you live in places like LA County, yeah, good luck hiking out of LA County when there's been no water, no food, no electricity for a week. good luck with that. You're not going to make it very far. Just about every person along the way is going to become an enemy. And, well, but Dan, what about the families? This is the one I really love. The most dangerous people you are going to confront on the road are the families. Because the families have kids. And if I know anything, all things being equal, moms and dads will do just about everything they can to protect their kids. So please, tell me about the fucking families. Those families, they're going to worry about themselves. And you, even if you have kids, will be a target. If you live in a city right now, be prepared to live in hell. And that's if you're a bright sider. That's if there's no environmental catastrophe. That's if it's not the end times. If it's just good old-fashioned economic collapse, cities are going to fold. I said that Seattle 6-7 years ago would go all Pol Pot. Huh. Well, they've got their trust fund Pol Pot avocado toast queen right now. And it will get worse because commies, Marxists, socialists, they have no good ideas. When things get stressful, the only thing a commie knows how to do is kill people, which is another way of saying government. Sorry, spoiler alert. But you can call in to the CRAM style crisis line. Call in. I have an open line for anybody that wants to call. You can call in and tell me about your fucking problems if you want to, okay? Are there things that you can do, that I can do, that we can do, that are practical, that are real, that are useful? Are there decisions we can still make that can increase our likelihood of survival? And the simple answer is yes, even at this moment. To be honest, if you put up a for sale sign today, like let's say you live in San Francisco, you live in Seattle, you live in New York City, you live in an urban or suburban place. You live in a place where you can't farm, you can't raise chickens. If you put out a sign today, there's odds that somebody, probably BlackRock, some REIT, will swoop in and buy it. Okay, that's good news. That's if you do it today. If you wait like a week or so, those odds go down and it's not linear at this point. There will be a time, June, July, and let's say you live in Vegas. Okay, I live in Vegas in July. And yeah, I know, they're drinking their own pee there. Well, you need a lot of electricity to make that happen, huh? Where does the electricity come from, Vegas? Magic, right? Magic angels. Bill Gates is gonna drill in the sand. He's gonna drill down really deep and free us from our pain. Yeah, if you're buying into the Bill Gates geothermal super duper energy palooza, that's a limited hangout, you're fucked. So you can drink your urine all the live long day, but you need a fuck ton of electricity to make that happen. You know? So if you get to June and you live in Vegas and you say, I live in Vegas, I want to leave now, what do you think the likelihood you're going to sell your home? If you wait too late and it's non-linear and cascading and things fall apart even more rapidly, what's the likelihood you can walk the distance to get to the nearest source of water? Maybe make it to Lake Mead and drink out of it what's left, hoping it's not a poisonous bloom, right? Folks, it doesn't get easier to sell your home from here, is my point. It really doesn't. Hey, Ron, I'm not talking about the end times. And by the way, Sherman's March, that's not the collapse of the Western Roman Empire. Sherman's March is not the 14th century crisis. These are orders of magnitude, okay? Big differences. The whole Civil War in the United States, which was bloody and terrible and killed more Americans either per capita or in toto than any other US war, will not compare to what's coming if it's just the petrodollar. It just isn't. We have been living beyond our means off of other people. That's what empires do. We were supposed to be a free republic, but when we turned our face, turned our eyes away from that, when we marched away from freedom towards tyranny, and you could say, oh, it was 1913 or it was something else, I'd say it was probably the Constitution. But whatever that moment was, we were fucked. The secret destiny of every empire is collapse. The bigger it is, the worse the collapse. We will either implode or explode. If we go down the Soviet Union path, then yeah, this country is about to become a lot of different countries. And if we go down, let's say, the Austro-Hungarian path or other paths like it, it could mean World War III. Who knows? And that's if we just want to be banal, you know? If we want to just be banal about it, like say it's just going to be World War III. So yeah, the petrodollar is toast. The petrodollar is cooked. It is gone. It is totally gone. It is toast. In the next year, prices are going to go up. And the only question you have to ask is that as bad as it is? And I can't tell you. My question is, what the fuck can you do today to increase your chances of survival? Let's say you're on a drug you need. Like, let's say it's a heart medication. Can you get extras? Can you find correlates that are natural foods that can help you with blood pressure? If it's diabetes, if it's something else, can you make changes starting today that it will allow you to live in a world where you're not going to get your prescription? Where it's just not going to happen? And it might be years or decades before we ever get back to the world again where you can go online and type out your prescription and get your order, because that's not going to be here for a while. It doesn't mean there won't be technology. It doesn't mean there won't be local internets. But the World Wide Web as we know it is about to go away. And best case scenario, it could go away for decades. Nations will have their own webs. We will have our own. And if we're five different countries, you're talking about five different internets just here. Yeah. Be an optimist. That's your optimism. What can you do today to deal with that? Paper books. I've been saying this for 6-7 years. And this shit's on sale. I don't know how to put it, but this shit is going to be worth its weight in whatever. The point is, you can go out there and buy books right now and fill up garbage cans, protect them, put in the, you know, the stuff that deals with humidity. The point is, the dry ease. You can store books in containers. You can buy all kinds of books, preferably how-to books, like how to do things so you can fucking survive. But you can buy fiction too. And in a world where the Kindle ain't going to fucking work, that's going to be worth something. That's something everybody could do today. Everyone could do today. I could probably do it too. Well, maybe I can't. I don't really have any money for it. But If you have more than just a few dimes to rub together, that's a practical thing you could do today to cover your ass. Buy some fucking books. I don't mean electronic books. I don't mean digital books. I mean actual books. You could get a hold of CB equipment. That's citizen band. And that means antennas, power supplies, all that. You could protect it from EMP. And you could put it away and not even use it necessarily, or just set up one unit and keep the other units to trade. I'm not saying you have the money to do it. I'm saying these are things people could do today. In lieu of buying physical gold, in lieu of buying physical silver, there are things people can still do today to protect themselves. We can all get healthier. We can all go for more walks. We can all try to take care of ourselves. That's something we can do today. We can all try to learn to buy food more local. If we know people that raise chickens like Ron, we can get to know them better. These are things we can do today. If you don't know how to purify water, you can learn how to do it. I have a few podcasts about it, but I'm tired. Okay, I'm tired. But you can still learn today how to purify your own water. These are things that we can do. Voting is not going to help. Okay, protests won't help. Acting out in violence won't help. But there are things we can do that are constructive. I have been saying this for 6-7 years. Get to know your fucking neighbors. And if you think you live among people you can't stand today, do you think they're going to be better people tomorrow? Seriously, will they be better people tomorrow? If they're crap heads today, do you think magically, when there's not enough food, not enough water, not enough anything, do you think magically the shitheads that are your neighbors today are going to become better people when it gets stressful? You can get to know your neighbors. You can get to know the lay of your neighborhood. If you want to stay in a city, you better start forming alliances, because you either work together within whatever neighborhood you're in or you're done. But there are things people can still do right now. Like I said, if you live in Vegas or any place in the Southwest that is at risk with respect to drought, you can still move. You can still sell your home. You can go to some place that is less likely to experience a severe drought. Those are also things you can do today. Okay, the big options, the huge options, like you can move to South America, that's something that you should have done 10 fucking years ago. I should have done 10 years ago. Could I still show up? Sure, at the last minute, and I could pour out dollars into the community to sort of gain some magical social capital. But the reality is, if you wanted to go someplace like Southern Argentina, you probably should have done that 6-7 years ago. It's too late. And no one you will ever fucking know is gonna ever go to Antarctica. I mean, there's a complex there. There are people that are going to live there, but it's not going to be you. It's not going to be me. And you're never going to really know the people that go. Yeah, Ron, I saw the same thing about the food. And that crap doesn't really add up. If you ask me, that's more of a boy who cried wolf op than legit, because the military has a shit ton of MREs and other forms of food that they can deliver. So the story about the Marines eating dreck, crap, grobula, whatever they're eating on board their landing ships, it doesn't really add up. Unless, and this is the key point, unless, you know, the military is more hollowed out than we realize. And like I said, the Ukraine war served many purposes, but so far it's done one really cool thing for the powers that be. It stripped local militaries of small arms, artillery, shoulder-fired rockets, anti-aircraft, man pads. You want me to keep fucking going? If you're worried about your military going into a state of mutiny, then the Ukraine war has been a gift from a lowercase god, because it's allowed every Western nation to take all those small arms and all that artillery and all that other shit and push it into a theater where it magically disappears. So if one day the colonels get their courage and they decide to fight back according to their oath, they'll open up the AHA, they'll open up the magazine, and they'll find out there's nothing in there. Yeah. But who knows what's going on, right? It's like Justin said. And we've talked about this, you know, Justin and I talked about this a few years ago. There have been a lot of cover your ass articles in the recent years, like since 2023. And when I say cover your ass, these are the articles you would have seen in the Soviet press and the Western press in the 1980s coming from good Russians who wanted to reform the Soviet Union. But in reality, these were good Russians covering their asses because they knew shit was about to implode. And what they didn't want to be is, like the Fed listening, the last man at their post as part of a crooked regime. Because maybe the Feds listening to me right now think they're on the good side. When it comes to government, there ain't no fucking thing. It doesn't exist. There is no mass in that. The smartest thing the Fed could do right now is quit your fucking job. Okay? Don't ever tell anybody what you did for a living. Go someplace where nobody knows you. That is the wisest thing you could fucking do. The people you report to, and I don't care who it is, could be NSA, could be FBI, could be CIA. Look at me if I give a fuck about Hillary Clinton and her 17 or 18 or 20 different intelligence agencies. Hell, I heard Joe Kent say 17 or 18 different intelligence agencies. I don't give a fuck. The smartest fucking thing you could do if you care, especially if you have a family, is quit your fucking job today. Okay? Find a spot on the map where nobody knows you, where there is good odds of survival, good hydrology, good chances of growing food. Don't ever tell anybody what you did for a living. Ever. And that's assuming the best case scenario. Because best case, with the petrodollar, with the US dollar, this crooked empire is going to fall apart. And it's entirely plausible it'll fall into more than one, you know, more than a couple pieces. Including here in the continental US. It's plausible that we end up three or four countries. And that's if you want a bright side. But you can call into the CRAM style crisis center and you can talk about Katy Perry. Call in and tell me if Katy Perry ever sat on your face, because, I mean, come on, Ruby Rose. I mean, that's a better song than I Kissed a Girl, isn't it? Or maybe, euphemisms. Euphemisms. I let Katy Perry sit on my face because she loved me and she said we could have a butt baby. It was late 2022. It was a special time. I was on Percocet. I had Katy Perry's butt baby. I left it in a septic tank. It still screams in the night somewhere in Roosevelt, Utah. £9, 5 ounces. I was in labor for, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours. I had to use a tablespoon as forceps. It was a courageous act, but then the baby went away into the septic tank. Just crawled right down there like it knew its home. Call in and tell me that Katy Perry sat on your face, Ruby Rose. And then call in and tell me how much it cost, because I'm sure that's not cheap. It is 3 o'clock. We have been doing this for about an hour. I don't necessarily want to shut this down, but like I said, I could talk about the Iran shit, and it's all negative shit we can't confirm. You know, according to Papa Blump, the war's over again. According to Papa Blump, he won again. According to Papa Blump, the Strait of Hormuz is open, and he wants us to be certain about whatever we're doing here, and please take care of this matter. Papa Blump says everything's okay. And, you know, the markets will open on Monday, right? And maybe things will be different. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are people at this level who are gaming this to make money, but think of the foolishness of it. There are people who believe that the money they're making right now is going to help them. Some of these people might have a condo. I don't think they do, but some of them do. But there are people below that who don't have a condo. And when I say a condo, I mean in Antarctica. These are people who are going to be left here with us. And some of us are kind of okay. I don't want to like harm people. I don't want to cause damage to people. I don't want to do that because I'm going to have more serious problems. I don't want to do that. But there are a lot of people, especially in places like Washington, D.C., where you're talking about a kind of population of folks that are generally sociopathic. And they're going to look for anybody to blame. And they will tear their neighbors to pieces. Those places aren't going to do well. They're going to implode. If you're a Fed and you're listening, you still have a chance to quit your fucking job. And I'm being serious. You're not going to change this. I would have said 10 years ago you could do your duty. Fuck you. You failed. The best thing you can do at this point, if you give a shit about your family or yourself or both, is get the fuck out of Dodge and don't ever, ever, ever tell anybody what you did for a living. Right, Bob? Because I know some people like Bob now, and they might be local. In fact, there's a whole shit ton of Bobs where I live, and what they don't know is there's more of people like me than them. And their retirements aren't going to come in. Their pensions are over. Okay, their existence depended upon a lie, and the lie will have revealed itself. Then what do you do? It's why I expect at some point to see that heterogeneous armada of helicopters heading out west, because the people with resources on the peninsula, they know. The feds with resources, the retired DARPA CIA, they know. They know that a lot of neighbors are going to blame them. And so you will at some point see that armada of different types of helicopters, and that's another sign. Not a good one, though. But call in if you want to talk to me on the CRAM style crisis line. It's 3:08 p.m. Holy shit. We've been talking and chatting and fucking around for more than an hour. I've been told it's critical that we do this, and that's fine. I'll believe it. But just anybody fucking call in. I mean, we had Justin call in. That was awesome. Somebody else, call in. Let me know you're real. You can talk about real shit you're doing to survive. Here's another real thing you can do. Take care of your psyche. Take care of your mind. And if that means you need to stop listening to me, guess what? That's what you need to start doing, okay? You need to take care of your mind. The only news right now that exists is the local news. And yeah, that includes the shit you can see them spraying in the sky, but that also includes the people around you. The social connections, the way your local economy works, that's news. If you need to protect your psyche and one step is not to listen to an angry old man like me, do that. But protect your mind. Right now is a time where you can still do things. Well, if you have the resources to give yourself a break, and I've said this a lot in the last 6-7 years, if you have the resources to give yourself a break, do it. Okay, if you have the resources to give your family a break, do it. Because a lot of these breaks are not going to exist, okay? There's going to be no timeouts. You can toss that ball you know, out of bounds as much as you want to. The clock will not stop very soon. But right now, you can still take a break. So look out for your psyche. Look out for your mind. If you believe in God, right now is a good time to pray. If you don't believe in God, right now is a good time to figure your shit out. Find some foundation for yourself. It can be whatever. It can be atheism if you need it to be. But you're going to need something you can hold on to, because we're entering an age, best case scenario, where everything gets flipped upside down. On the other hand, we're also entering an age where the stuff they're telling us today that's worthless is going to be priceless. Today they tell you family is worthless. Well, guess what? Very soon family is going to be priceless. Today they tell you healthy relationships between men and women are worthless. Well, guess what? Time's coming where that's going to be priceless. Today they tell you all the food is Norman Borlaug crap, so don't worry about it. Just go to the Walmart and buy it. Day's coming when you're going to know the difference between food that's good for you and food that's just poisoning you. It's not that far off. A day's coming when people will actually know the value of things again. It's not that far off. You guys still out there? Looks like you own the whole stream, man. Because, like, all comments, Ron. If nobody wants to call in to the CRAM Crisis Center, I'm going to go ahead and close things down, because I don't want to rant anymore. I have been saying this shit for 6, 7 fucking years, guys. I've been saying this shit over and over again. If you think now is a good time to listen, it's probably too late, right? I don't know. But practically speaking, there are things we can all still do. No matter where you live, no matter where I live, there's stuff we can still do. The petrodollar is toast. I hope 6 months from now, you guys can say, fuck you, Dan, you're wrong. The petrodollar's toast. Paper assets based on the petrodollar, to include all credit default swaps and derivatives, are toast. The financial system connected to that dark market is toast. That's your bright side. So if you're asking, what can you do today? Get out of paper assets. I can't tell you what to do with them. Probably getting a piece of property someplace where you can raise food is a good step A. But taking your money out of your 401k and putting it into Bitcoin, not an improvement. Not an improvement. It's basically just shoveling your money into the wood chipper. So there are things you can do today, I can do today, but none of it involves voting. None of it involves protesting. None of it involves t-shirts or blogs or fucking podcasts. Lord in heaven, watch over my friends out there. I know I am sarcastic, they know that I am sarcastic, but I believe there are people out there, and whatever kind of community we are, maybe a tiny internet community of misfits, watch over all of them, watch over their families, watch over their communities. Lord, we are grateful for the food we have, we are grateful for the water we drink, we are grateful for the air we breathe. We know that we take it for granted, but we say together we are grateful. We know that by your action, by your existence, by your love, we do thrive. And the challenges we face can be faced with your Holy Spirit, with your whole love. We can face anything. In your name we serve, Jesus Christ, amen. I'll talk to you guys later.